and welcome to Marooned at Max Bites headquarters, a day 390. How are we all doing? Good grief, look at the chat. Hello, Jonathan. Jonathan is back on form. This bodes well for tonight, Jonathan, doesn't it? Congratulations. Oh, Renee says, before we start, I'd like to put your music request in case it hasn't been missed in Slack. I don't think it has been missed in Slack. I think Mikey's on top of it. But let's have a look. ELO, Ticket to the Moon. Good one. The Shocking Blue Venus Train. Don't think I've heard of that one. Oh, no, no, Venus, I'm with you. Train, Drops of Jupiter. I love Train. Absolutely adore Train. In fact, they just released the 20th anniversary edition of Drops of Jupiter. Trio number two, Elton John, Rocketman. Ah, Venn Diagram. Venn Diagram City, I think. Steve Miller Band, Space Cowboy. That's a good one. Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bad Moon Rising. Excellent choices. And for the Venn Diagram, I think you're Venn Diagrammed out. David Bowie, Space Oddity. Oh, indeed. Fly Me to the Moon, good one. Fifth Dimension, Aquarius. Ooh, and I'm Wishing on a Star. Excellent, excellent. Loving them. CQ Dub, CQ. Your lines have been messed up copying from Slack. Don't worry about that. It will all be sorted. We've had some I thought, oh, everyone will pick that, and they did. And then we've had some others that's like, oh, I didn't think of that one. So it's going to be a good night. We've got enough. Because one of Mike's things is, ages ago, I picked books as a topic, and Mike was like, I can't think of any. I'm like, don't be ridiculous, Mike. You know, and I was thinking Wuthering Heights. You know, obviously that has got to be the most common one, Wuthering Heights. But there's a million. There's a million of them. I think I went through the Charles Dickens collection for a start, Christmas Carols. What else do we have that was a bit... Paperback Writer. Oh, there was loads. There was absolutely loads. War of the Worlds. So, yeah, we had plenty, but Mike was panicky. Hello, Alex. Hello, Anthony. Hello, Kim. So, who's heard Mac Bites? 136. And who enjoyed it? Oh, it was good chatting last night while it was on. I actually had it on, so that's about the fourth time I'd heard it. Coyote in the backyard. Beautiful, and Kiva went crazy. Are they dangerous? You know, would you not let Kiva out? Coyotes, well, apart from Wile E. Coyote, that's probably the only one I've got personal experience of. Coyotes strike me as being a bit on the dangerous side, but I don't know. I think we've got some in the zoo here, but that's about it. I know we have foxes, but Lola saw the fox off, didn't you, girl? Well, actually, it didn't take much doing, did it? He took one look at you and ran. Not to say that you're not pretty, because you are. I did just think you were about three times the size he was, and he was a bit shaken by that. It was poor Mr. Fox, and he disappeared. Oh, Anthony's saving it, going to listen this weekend. In that case, we won't spoil it. Although, I think it's safe to say, there was a bit of a rant, isn't there always? Oh, but this one was so worth it. And Mike and I lost it in the middle of said rant. And Mike said, we'll have to do it again. I'll just take it out. And I said, no, no, no. I'm just leaving it, Mike. It'll be fine. Oh, no, you don't want Kiva around them. They might harm her if they're given a chance. Yeah, they strike me as a little bit predatory, but I don't know. I don't know. Just the name Coyote, I think. Coyote is synonymous with don't leave cats and dogs around. We do have seagulls here that are quite big, and they have been known to scoop dogs off. I think one of the papers had a campaign about it about a year ago. Maybe more than a year ago, on account of the fact, you know, COVID, not going out. But this, it was a seaside town, and these birds had become... more than a little bit confident. And it was to do with the fact that people weren't putting food in the bins. As you know, we have a bin problem over here. People generally don't bother. So all this food that was being bought at this seaside town was just strewn around. And the birds were like, oh, I'll have some of that. And they got very, very brazen with it. To the point that in the end, they would scoop down and take the food out of your hand. Which I think Mike's got a funny story about. But then they got worse and they scooped down and they were taking cats and dogs. Obviously tiny dogs, like little terrier dogs. But, you know, even bigger dogs that you wouldn't think of that would weigh maybe, a stone and a half. You wouldn't think of a bird picking up a dog like that, or young puppies. Puppies also, you know, bigger dogs, but puppies. It was scary. You're like, I'm going to have to put a net over the back garden. Mind you, nothing ever came anywhere near Mayer. He didn't have an off switch, didn't Mayer? His volume was set to 11 and you couldn't alter it. So nothing pretty much came near him. If you're wondering where Mike is, I've not done away with him. He's downstairs dealing with the Tesco delivery. The last time I saw him, he streaked past me in a mask and a pair of rubber gloves. Now, when I say he's doing the Tesco delivery, I hope he's doing the Tesco delivery, because if he's not, what else could he be doing? Possibly delivering a baby in that outfit. So I'm hoping it's the Tesco delivery. I don't know who it is, because he's got the TV camera as well. So I have no idea. It could be Wendy, or maybe it's not Wendy. I don't know. And I don't think on this iPad, the one I'm left with. Oh, there it is. Right, I found it. I didn't think the app was on it, but it is. Sadly, I've left it on the other camera. So let's head off and sort that out and see if I can see him. There we go. Can I see him? It's been chaotic here. Utterly chaotic. It's been one of those days. You know, like as you come to the end of your holiday and you're thinking, oh, we'll wind down gently. No chance. No chance. There was gridlock outside the house. Now, we don't live on a main road. We live on a busy-ish road. Well, we live on a very, very quiet road, actually, but we're on the corner. So we're on the corner of this busy, busy road. And I said to Mike, what's going on? And people were tooting, and there was something afoot. Anyway, it turned out some idiot had stopped to drop somebody off, and three people got out of the car, and they're yakking away. But the thing was, they were yakking away on the corner where the cone lives. And there's a crossing point, so anybody behind them in a car couldn't get past, because this crossing point was in the middle of the road. Then I said, what are they doing? And they'd been there that long. And I thought, how rude to just stop in the middle of the road. I mean, okay to let somebody out, but not to carry on standing there. And they're having a good old conversation. And this was like 15 minutes. Anyway, people were getting really annoyed. So at the point they decided they'd start the car and go, it wouldn't start. So then there was an incident of everybody coming up and getting around this car. And I'm like, social distancing. But there was more than six people. And they ended up having to push this car. Anyway, it disappeared. And so did the traffic jam. But, you know, an average quiet Friday afternoon at Magpie's headquarters. Never without incident. Oh, so they might. So it goes on size, does it, Kim? Now she's bigger, they might do what the fox did and leg it. Oh, Renee only has squirrels. They're pretty domesticated. Now, Lola loves squirrels and Maya was obsessed with squirrels. Obsessed. So much so, we bought him a plastic squirrel. But today, what did you do? You might well look like that. You've been up to mischief today, haven't you? Do you want to tell them what you did? No, Mummy, you tell them what I did. It was a squirrel, Mummy, and I wanted it. Sometimes when she's out on a walk, she pulls like crazy on the lead. Other times, she's more like a normal dog. Yes, a normal dog, Lola. And prepared to walk alongside you. And today was one of the gentle I'll walk alongside you moments. Until she saw this squirrel. Mike will recover eventually when we get the cast off. He said literally she took off like a rocket. Yes, what have I got here? Ah, you see, you are interested now. Tripeth sticketh. Yes, a tripe stick. Oh, that's most acceptable, is it? That's acceptable. Excellent. Oh, they've got even their own tree houses. They're not treated very kindly in this country, isn't squirrels? I know some of them. Is it the red ones? I can never remember. Are protected. But most people think of them as vermin. And that they carry disease. But the dogs are incredibly interested in them. They think they're playthings that move. Apparently, though, squirrels can be quite vicious. One dog got attacked by a pack of squirrels. So it wasn't just one squirrel. But not only did the dog die, but they skinned it. These squirrels were lethal. So I think I'm preferring your more domesticated ones. Hello, Paul. Busy at work, haven't been able to make Marooned. Oh no, don't worry about it. I have been busy at work and there are Maroons in the feed. Has Tracy mentioned the Maroons in the feed? Do you think she's found them? Because I put Maroons in the feed. And then I ran out of titles, so I had to take a break. Don't let her tell you she's starving. She's had a tripe stick.
Really?
Yes, but she's desperate for a dentist stick. Aren't
she's
you,
only
girl?
Had one today.
She might have had one, but she hasn't had another, has she? And I have a dentist stick. But I want paws for it. Both of them. Not at the same time. No, don't you keep giving me the same one. Do you know I give in every time, don't I? Go on.
Right, I'm letting it de-COVID for a bit.
Well, that's fine.
I can't really let it de-COVID. Let it de-COVID for too long.
Is it ice cream?
No.
Oh.
No, but it's hot.
It is.
And it's perishable food.
Right, okay. So you're going down there later, are you?
In a while. Thought to say hello to the map biters.
Too many Microsoft Teams meetings around Marooned Hour. Paul, something needs to be done about this. It's not allowed. It's not allowed. No, I haven't heard from Neil. No, I haven't. We did contact Neil, didn't hear from him. So I don't know. Oh, Spaceman, Harry Nielsen. Yep, we'll put that in. Mike, there's requests in here. You'll find
right.
them. You'll
there's
find
also them. Requests in Slack.
There is. They're the same request, don't worry.
I'll deal with
it. Oh, black squirrels. No, we've not got black. I believe we have grey and we have red. And I have heard of an albino squirrel. But that's not like a standard. It's a one-off. I don't know if there's anything between the grey and the red. Maybe Simon will know, because he goes walking
have
in the woods.
Have you dropped it?
What's the matter?
She's dropped it between the bed.
Daddy, pick it up, Daddy.
And the boxes. She's struggling.
Oh, dear. Honestly, you have to help her eat it as well.
Yourself.
In the wild.
In the wild.
Oh, everyone's saying hello to you.
Hello, everybody. I'm exhausted. Oh. Only when to bring the shopping in.
And now, at the moment, are you still getting it in the bags? Is it going to be more complicated next time?
No, from a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, right. So if you're exhausted today, you need to get fighting fit for this. Poor Mike. Shopping's very tricky, isn't it?
It is.
Do you know when I didn't find it tricky? When Morrison's delivery it all in paper bags. How many times, Mike, order it from Morrison's?
Yeah.
If Tesco lose business, then they'll stop being sniffy about the bags. They're only making it more difficult for themselves. I don't know why they bother.
Yeah, you're right, Anthony. It's the 19th.
I think that is really silly. It's going to take their deliverers longer to make a delivery. Yep. And if people are prepared to pay the 40p, what's the problem? You're already exactly. paying for delivery, so... Oh, never mind. I went shopping today.
Did you?
I did. This one I found quite scary. I knew exactly what I wanted.
Is this a shopping with Elaine moment?
It is. I knew exactly what I wanted. Right. So I went to Amazon because, you know, where else do you go? No. And I thought, what do you mean? That it's not at Amazon? Because Amazon sell everything. From an ironing board to a spacecraft, you can probably buy it on Amazon. No, didn't have it. So where else do you go if it's health related? Holland & Barrett. So I go to Holland & Barrett, which is a kind of supplements come health food shop. They put every independent out of business. Do you remember Country?
Yeah.
Country something. It's where Wilco is now. And it was the most amazing independent like health food shop. It had everything. And then Holland & Barrett decided that they were going to put a Holland & Barrett in every town centre. And they undercut this shop. They must have been losing money on it, but they undercut it until the shop went bust and then the prices shot up. So we're not overly fond of Holland & Barrett, but, you know, in the event that I need some vitamins and there's only Holland & Barrett, I'll go to Holland & Barrett. They didn't have them either. I thought, darn it. So I does the Googles, UK supply, puts in the name of what I was after. And I do get a few like chemists coming up that had it. But because they weren't really geared up for online selling, you're looking at like the item is £5.45. Oh, that's OK. And the postage is £15.99. And I'm like, no. Guess where I ended up buying it, Mike? Let's see if Mike can work it out.
eBay.
Exactly. eBay. For vitamin pills. I mean, really? But again, it was a supplier that is obviously using eBay as their like online thing. So it's on its way. Be here next week. Oh, the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. You cannot beat the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. Oh, hello, Simon. I need to see some of these black squirrels. Saw a panda today that I wasn't expecting. It was on a piece about the Duke of Edinburgh. And I remembered then, many, many years ago, he was like into the wildlife thing, wasn't he? And outdoor venture things. And he'd been and visited the pandas. So there were the pandas. Oh, they were so cute. So, so cute.
You heard of DMX?
DMX, no.
He's a rapper.
Oh, right.
He's dead.
Oh. Is he trying to upstage the Duke of Edinburgh?
He was only half the Duke of Edinburgh's age. Had a heart attack.
Scary. Scary. I have no idea, Anthony, why they can't use paper bags. It incenses me. I always thought many years ago that the UK probably had it right, that we had carrier bags with handles, because you could carry more of them than the ones in the States where they didn't have handles and you had to like cradle it on the way out of the store. But then, of course, all the plastic things. So it's like, OK, we'll get rid of that. And the first thing they did was bringing those biodegradable bags, which I don't have a problem with, as long as they don't biodegrade while I'm walking to the car with them, which 9 times out of 10 they did. So it was a case of like, I'll have to put it in 5 bags. You know, if you've got 3 tins of beans, don't put that in 1 bag. The bottom will fall out. But now everything's being delivered. There really is no excuse not to give you paper bags. That would serve many purposes. They could deliver faster. You'd just be able to lift these paper bags out. They'd be completely compostable. Why not? I don't understand. Instead of which, they cannot possibly make as many deliveries as they can now, where you're just lifting it out. If you've got to stand there and somebody, you know, decant it from a box to a bag, or even a box to another box. And I know in COVID times, they can't leave you the Tesco box and pick them up next week, but that would be genius as well. But Morrisons drop everything off in paper bags. They're incredibly strong. They're probably about the size of a carrier bag. They're not huge like the old potato bags used to be. They're about half that size, but they are more than adequate. I've seen them put 6 2-litre bottles of water in and they don't rip. We've had tins delivered in them, haven't we? And the other thing is, when you put things like salad in, you don't get the bottom getting wet and then ripping. They were great. Buy it from Morrisons, Mike, and be done. Mm. And then they'll sort it out. We think, hang on a minute, we're losing stuff here. Right.
You can buy a 30p paper bag, which the grocer has said is recyclable, water resistant, and can hold up to 16 kilos.
Nearer to the microphone, and who are you talking about, Tesco or Morrisons?
Morrisons.
Morrisons gave them us for free.
Well, maybe they're not now.
Maybe Morrisons are charging for the paper bags now. Who knows? The black squirrels sound like squirrels trained by the US Special Forces. Squirrels are a bit like that, though, aren't they? They can be a little bit vicious. Oh, Renee's buying his vitamin D in a subscription. Oh, now that's a good idea. I must admit, my vitamin D came from Amazon. And how many was in the bottle? 400. So I shared them with Mike because, you know, COVID, sunshine, not happening. They're quite tiny, though. But I think I bought a bottle and then I lost it. So I bought another one. Then I found the first one. So then I decanted the first into the second. Right. I've got a picky there from Kim. Let me have a look at the picky. Now that looks quite cute. If it had bigger ears, it would look... Well, no, it's had the tail. No. Say it would look like a cat. It does look kind of cute, though, doesn't it? It's like you know, like Apple charge more for the Space Grey. It's like an upgrade on a squirrel, isn't it? I won't show Lola. She'll go absolutely incendiary. It is kind of cute, though. My mum hated squirrels. Squirrels have a bad rep here. And she drank the Kool-Aid on that one. They're vicious. They're vermin-filled. Now, like I said, some of them, I think that was in Russia where it skinned a dog. It was a pack of squirrels and basically there was just the bones left. And like, whoa, they must have been hungry. Scary stuff. I do think the tail's kind of cute, though. They are nice, though, aren't they, when you see them? Not squirrels. What are the other things? Chinchillas. We took Maya into Pets at Home, which in itself was a bit of an adventure. They don't mind them whittling on the floor, but they do mind if they poo. Well, we knew Maya wouldn't do that. but I thought he might get overexcited. But we didn't get that far, did we, Mike? No, he decided he would do the honourable thing and make sure that he wouldn't whittle in the store by whittling up the wall outside, which was fine, only it wasn't the wall that he whittled up. No. It was a rather nice, very, very expensive wooden kennel that he whittled up. It's like, just don't, Mike, stand in front of him. We got away with it, and he didn't whittle on the floor. So we took him in there, and in the middle of the place,
she was going to poo up somebody's path this morning.
Just spreading the love, Daddy.
I had to drag her away. I said, no.
Not here.
And then she tried to get up the next path. I said, no. I said, you can do it up this road here.
Oh, dogs are so funny. So in the middle of Pets at Home, there's like a glass cabinet. And you would think in it, it had things that were like really expensive that they were keeping under lock and key. But no, it was chinchillas. What else did they have in there? Was it rabbits? Rabbits on one side and chinchillas on the other.
Remember.
Oh, I think Maya thought he'd entered one of those restaurants where you pick your own meal and then they go cook it. The chinchillas were driving him insane. They look like tiny squirrels, but the tails are striped and his face was an absolute picture. And if that wasn't enough, he then went round the corner and there were the rabbits. Well, he was foaming at the mouth and the rabbits were most unimpressed. Oh, it's always an adventure when you're going Pets at Home. We took Lola in early, didn't we? I think it was it the harness we were looking for? So she had to come along because she needed to be fitted for it. Well, it was a bit like a pop group turning up, you know, to buy a pair of jeans and you can't get in the store for the fans. We got her in there and we couldn't get her fitted into this suit because there was a line of about 50 people who were like, oh, she's adorable. Can I stroke her? So by the time we'd finished, said to Mike, we've only got 2 hours parking, you know. She was holding court and loving it. Oh.
You can stroke her if you stand 2 metres away.
Yeah, that's it now. No, you can't stroke her. Go away.
Yeah, I turned some girl down last week.
Really?
Can I stroke your dog? I said, no. We're in COVID.
Oh, they look like they've got bigger ears, don't they? They look a little bit like our red squirrels. But I would say ours aren't as cute as yours. That is just so cute. Look at their little faces. Oh, and their little hands. The way they hold the food when they're nibbling it. Oh, they're just adorable.
Renee wants to know why I'm exhausted. Because I've been unpacking the shopping.
And if it's that complicated now, in 2 weeks it's going to be worse. I'm loving that. Oh, so Simon says, last week Princess Margaret, this week Duke of Edinburgh, who next? Well, it was not a shocking one way. You know, he's 99. But seeing as though he's been in hospital, you wouldn't think they'd let him out if he wasn't improving. So they send him home and then he dies. That's a bit weird, that. They must have known he was going. Because they'd want to control all the press, wouldn't they? Which they did remarkably well. So we've had wall-to-wall coverage of the life and times of the Duke of Edinburgh today. Which is interesting, seeing clips from, you know, way before I would remember, in the 50s when he was getting married and that. And the Queen and how much she looked like Princess Anne.
Mm.
And then there was one from the late 60s, I think, when there was a gap. They had 2 children, then there was a bit of a gap. And then they had Andrew and Edward. And this must have been when Andrew and Edward were really young. But Princess Anne looked like she was about 16, 18. And looking at her, I thought, oh, good grief, that's Zara. And I thought, no, it can't be. Hang on a minute. And no, it was Anne. Zara's her daughter. But, you know, by the time I twigged who was who in the royal family, so probably aged about 10, Princess Anne looked like a mature woman to me. And I'd never seen pictures of Princess Anne about 16. But obviously I saw lots of pictures of Zara at that age. Virtually identical. I also don't remember. I clearly have, but I don't remember hearing the Duke of Edinburgh speak. And when you're looking at these old interviews, I thought he speaks like Prince Andrew, which isn't necessarily a good thing these days. But I thought he was more like Prince Andrew than Charles. I'm not a great Charles fan, to say the least. Mind you, they had a poll in one of the national papers. And, you know, royalty is, you know, you're born into it and there's a pecking order. And this story in the paper was, we've had a poll and people don't like Charles, so can we have William as next king? And I thought, not unless Charles dies first. That's how it works. So long may the Queen continue. Long, long may the Queen continue. Jonathan feels sorry for the Queen. I didn't realise, I knew they weren't spending all their time together. But you know, like when a couple get to that age and you think, well, that's their time, which was what the Duke was saying about retiring. That he stayed at Sandringham and she stayed at Windsor, which is all a bit weird. And then I said to Mike, you know, once he went in hospital and he was in there about 4 or 5 weeks, and then there was all the hoo-ha with Harry and Meghan at the same time. And they were trying to keep it from him. He'd have probably gone orbital. Mind you, you know, if they'd have told him, he might have determined not to die. But while he was in there, Charles visited once. I think Edward visited once. But other than that, I don't think he had any visitors, which on the one hand made you think, oh, well, it's not that serious. And then obviously it was serious. You know, like Spike Milligan, I told you I was ill. How sad that he didn't have more visitors during that time, because he's only been back home about 2 weeks. Right. I think when he came out of hospital last month, he clearly came home to pass away peacefully. Well, it looks like he did. There was only one picture, I think, wasn't there? And he, you know, he did look aged, but then he would. It was sad anyway, sad. Catching up. Oh, Jonathan's got his second COVID jab. You've got a text to book today, 6 weeks early somehow. That's good news, seeing as though it should have been 3. Can't remember, was it, you got the Pfizer, didn't you? Which is probably a good idea, given that you are, oh, mind you, poor Jonathan. We always call Jonathan young Jonathan. But given that Jonathan is over 30 now, although for a MacBiter, that's still young. yes, I think our youngest MacBiter was, he would be about 18, 19 now. But young Jonathan, you are actually in the category where you are old enough to not get the other vaccine. You know, old enough that you would need, that you could be offered the AZ vaccine. Whereas Renee, who put it in last night, which was most useful, the cutoff point is 60 in Holland and it's 30 here. So I thought, well, you know, if we listen to what everybody says about that, they know their data best, blah, blah, blah. And then the first thing that comes out is, so it would be better for people under 30 to not have the AstraZeneca vaccine. So I thought, fair enough. So the 19 people that died then, they were under 30. And the first one that comes out, 59. And I'm sitting there thinking, hang on a minute, he's older than me. Can we just have that upped in the UK to 60? Thank you. That would be rather good. No, it's 30 here. But how can you then, honestly? And they rolled the guy's sister out, who just happens to be a pharmacist, who said, get the vaccine. And then there was another one that I heard where they've had the first vaccine and it was the AZ vaccine. Oh, which has now been called the Oxford vaccine because, you know, AZ don't want to be associated with it. But anyway, the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine, they won't give him the second. And I said to Mike, well, what are you supposed to do? Because in the next paragraph, it says whatever vaccine you had for the first one, you've got to have the same for the second. I don't know what they're doing. If the right knew what the left was doing, they'd be doing really well, wouldn't they? Jonathan, Simon bought vitamin D, £7 on Amazon. They sound pretty similar to the ones I've got. What strength are mine? 4,000 IU, whatever those are. Vitamin D3 is 4,000 IU. But they were a similar price. And I thought it was probably worth taking them, given where we're at. And the Union Jack's the right way up on the back. So not all bad. Mine is called from a company called Insight. Spelt INCITE. I've not grown 3 heads, so I'm fine with them. Wow, €54 for a per half year dose. Vitamins vary, though, don't they? I mean, sometimes, and I'm not suggesting that you do this, you can get them in the pound shop for a pound. But if you go to Holland & Barrett next door, that'll be £12.99. So they vary widely. But I think these were about the £7 mark. And they were on offer as well. Obviously, people are looking to buy them. So if they put them in the sale items, they sell out. Honestly, they did. We shall be thinking of you tomorrow, Jonathan. Oh, Kim says, are you discouraged from having bird feeders this year? Salmonella outbreak in the bird in the songbird. Several people have... Really? Wow. The only thing that's happened here in relation to that, and it wasn't salmonella, it was bird flu. H1 something, N something, isn't it? H1N, whatever. There were three outbreaks. One was in Norfolk, which is an area of the UK. It's on the east coast between YI Petland, where Vera comes from, and London. So it's on the bit that sticks out. And there's a lot of farming goes on there. So one outbreak was there. I can't remember where the second one was, but before we knew it, we got an outbreak about 15 miles up the road from here. And they were culling the entire flock, which was quite worrying, given that we eat quite a lot of chicken. You know, they tell you not to eat red meat and then poison the chicken. What can you do? Oh. Right. Renee's a D4. These are D3. You didn't know the difference. I must admit, I didn't really take much notice of that. I mean, it's a vitamin. It's vitamin D. Sometimes you need another vitamin to react with the vitamin you're taking. So you might get like vitamin C and it will have something with it to help your body metabolise it. But I remember reading it at the time and these were okay. And I seem all right. But then I don't mind if I don't get any sun. I don't really care. Well, that could just be me. Good night, Simon. Hello, Tracy. Charles, sure has some big ears. That's not the biggest problem with Charles. I've got no time for that man at all, really. He's just, his priorities seem a bit skewed. I know there was a Charles and Diana thing, and I'm not going to get embroiled in some kind of marriage situation because there's always two sides to it. But he's just, the things that, it's not anecdotal stories that bother me, it's the things you actually see. I'll give you an example. Many, many moons ago, because how old's William now? 39. All right, William's 39 now. Well, when he was 10, he was at school, boarding school. Diana didn't want him at boarding school. Charles insisted, so he was at boarding school. And they were playing some game or other. I don't think it was in sports. I think it was like playtime. I think it was a golf club. I think they were like teeing off in golf and he got hit on the head. And obviously, you know, this is Prince William. So they rush him off to hospital. Diana had a full day's diary of appointments to do. And so did Charles. Although I think Diana was busier than Charles at this time. And she had to travel back from somewhere. Anyway, she gets the call. That's it. She's off. You'll have to do without me. She's off. They both get to the hospital at different times. And this crack on the head was serious. So he needed an operation. So the operation went on in the afternoon, I think. So by, say, 5-6 o'clock, the operation had finished. And they're wheeling him back to the ward. And Charles says, I've got an appointment at the opera. And goes to the opera. Really? What's going on? Who could leave their child? I mean, the words fail me on that one. Mayer only had to go in to the vets and stay once. And he was having a liver function test. So it wasn't actually an operation. It was a liver function test. And it can be done with them awake. And I said, there's no way you will be able to do a liver function test with him awake. Some dogs will just lie down. Did I mention he didn't have an off switch? So I said, there's no way. You're going to have to sedate him. There's no way you'll be able to... You know, and they were like, we're Dr. Doolittle. We can talk a dog to sleep. I thought, you're not met this one. Anyway, needless to say, he had to be sedated. So we knew that we weren't going to pick him up for like at least 6 hours. But we checked him in and it was February. It was freezing. There was wind and rain howling, and we sat outside the vet's, and I said, I'm not moving from here. At no point were we more than 50 yards away from him, and I said, he'll know. He'll know that we're close by. The vets thought we were barking, seriously. So after about 5 hours, yep, it was all sorted, it'd been done, but they couldn't let him go until he'd eaten. And they were offering him like cheap dog food. This was a dog who had gourmet food from my mother, hand-cooked lovingly. I said, we're going to be in here for the long haul. I said, because he's not going to touch that until he's starving. Oh, was I right? 13 hours. But we sat out there absolutely freezing our proverbials off because he was our son. I can't imagine going to the opera. And plus the fact, even if he fancied going to the opera, even if he felt that duty overtook family thing, even if he thought all of that, why did nobody on his comms team advise him that the optics were shocking? You know, we'll get you a live feed to the opera, Charles, but just sit by William's bedside because that's the right thing to do. But no, he went to the opera. No time for them. No time whatsoever. Tracy's grandfather, Catoonian, to speak just like the Duke of Edinburgh. How cool. BK's our youngest MacBiter. That's very true now, Jonathan. It is, isn't it? Absolutely. Here it's 60 hours off yesterday. They've looked at the casualties. I can't fathom here why it's 30. I don't understand. I don't understand that. If there's a... I don't care how infinitesimal. And the other thing is, you know when you're doing medical trials and stuff and it's like, trust the science. Trust the science. If I hear trust the science once more, I'm going to spit. Because logic isn't there. So this is the kind of question, as a lawyer, that when I'm looking at the medical evidence, these are the kind of questions that I would have. Right. The chances of this are something like 0.000009. So it's infinitesimal. Right. What have they said about that? Ah, right. Let me tell you. What they've said about that is it's more prevalent if you don't have the vaccine. That's how tiny this chance of a blood clot is. Okay. Trust the science. Okay. I'll believe that. If you can prove that with statistics, fine. Let's leave that alone then. Okay. Then they said, and this is the kind of question I would ask, what is the blood clot rate with the Pfizer vaccine? Ah, okay. So they get all the stats out on that. Zero. Nobody has reported a blood clot who has had the Pfizer jab. And I'm like, but just a minute, you've just said to me that the natural rate is more than the AZ rate. So how can the Pfizer rate be zero? Same logic. They then said, you've got to have your second vaccine, AZ vaccine, if you had the AZ one first. You can't switch. Makes sense. So obviously your question then becomes, what's the percentage of people getting a blood clot with the second jab from AstraZeneca? And the figure you're looking for is for it to be no higher than the natural rate. Somebody asked that question and the answer was zero. Nobody. And I'm like, just a minute. If there's a natural rate, surely, even if it's below that natural rate, it can't be zero. But we've got to trust the science. So I'm leaving it alone. I don't fancy that one. Eventually, what will happen here is more people will die between 30 and 60, and then they'll make it 60. So shall we all just wait till then? They'll get there in the end. When we're called to get it, it's still very unclear. You've got to be careful. Kim's got to be careful about the amount of vitamin D because of the sarcoidosis. What's the connection there, Kim? You can actually overdo it. That's dangerous. That's dangerous for me because I must admit I have to have the bottle on the desk to remind me. And then I'm like, did I take one this morning? And there's so many in the pot, you can't really tell. It's not like they're in these, you know, the push-through pouches where you can see how many you've taken. They're not like that. Ooh. What have we got here? Alex, we've got something from Alex on Facebook. I'll go and have a look at that. Everyone can get the vaccine now. don't think we're at that point here, Kim. I don't know why. We're a certain... Well, what they said would happen in April is that they're trying to reduce the number of people who are getting the first jab. They want to get all the people who've had the first lot with the second jab and then, you know, regroup again in May and then start again. We have not had the call. And despite the fact we are in the age group now where we should have had the call, we've not had the call. You can ring up and go to a MaxVax centre, which I find absolute lunacy, because I have a very, very, very thin file. What I mean by that is there is a term in the UK called a thin credit file, and it trips me up every time. If I do want to go in and get something on credit, it's like, you've got a very thin credit file. That's because I don't have credit. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have anything on credit. So if I want to sign up for like my iPhone, it's like, you've got a thin credit file. They're not saying you're not credit worthy, just that you've not had enough credit to know if you're credit worthy or not. Well, my medical file's pretty much the same. There's been no entries for 30 years. They probably think I'm dead. When the doctor came to visit my dad, he said to the receptionist when he got back, who knew my mum, and that's how come we knew what he'd said. He said, oh, what a lovely family. You know, they're really looking after him well. He said, but I've got one question. And the receptionist said, what? So he said, well, why is the dad with us? Who are they with? Meaning as a general practitioner. And she said, they're with us, you fool. They just never come. He couldn't believe it. He said, I've never seen them. And she said, they never come. And he said, well, why not? And she looked at him and, you know, we'd had this conversation with her. And she went, well, if they're not ill, why would they visit? And he went, oh, yeah. But, you know, people just seem to turn up at the doctor's because they've got a splinter or because it's Friday and they've got nothing else better to do. Where Mum and I are like, is there a danger of imminent death? No. Well, in that case, I won't bother. But he was so funny. Anyway, maybe they think we're dead. I don't know. We'll find out, won't we? We'll find out. What's happening with you, Tracy? Are they offering it to you or not? I mean, I know here we could go MaxVax, but my problem with that is they don't have my medical records. And I know that my first doctor had him for 9 years. He was amazing. He was amazing. Absolute respect for that guy. Absolutely amazing. He put on the notes that under no circumstances, this reaction that I had to the penicillin, it was a wonder I didn't die. It was that bad. And the thing was, the underlying condition that I had that I was taking the penicillin for was bad as well. So that hence the erythromycin, and then there was the rest of that fiasco. So I know that there is something on my notes, and he put it in the notes and he said to Mum, under no circumstances is she to have anything until people have read the notes. And Mum was like, right. And he drummed it into her. Well, obviously your medical records follow you through. So my GP has my medical records, but I haven't heard from my GP. So if I had to ring a MaxVax, how would they get my medical records? Because they're not computerised. And then you'd be sitting there with like, well, I don't want this vaccine. I don't want that vaccine. And have you actually read the medical records? The answer's going to be no. So I don't see how I can go there, full stop. But I'm not in a rush at the minute. We'll leave that until at least May and see what goes on. There are other people that I think should probably be ahead of me in the queue anyway. Anybody going out to work for a start, and I'm not. So I literally have no reason whatsoever to leave the house. So the people who are working with children and frontline workers, let them get it first, whatever age they are. The government aren't saying that that should happen, but I think that it's blindingly obvious that that should happen. So I can wait. I can wait until it rocks up. Nothing so far. I honestly don't know what's going to happen, Tracy. I would have thought if you were going to get a letter, it would have been here by now, but I don't know. I know there are some GP surgeries that are really on the ball. Kath and Joe's for a start. Joe had his within the first 3 or 4 days of it being available. But not only did he get a letter from his GP about it, but he actually works at a care home. So they came into the care home and gave everybody the injection there. But obviously, Kath didn't work there. She's a teacher, but she's an adult teacher. She teaches adults. So she's working virtually. But her GP contacted her within 2 weeks. And she's nowhere near the age. You know, when at the beginning it was 90. She's only in her 60s. but they were really on the ball. So much so, Carolyn's had one. And she's over 10 years younger than me. So she's already had her first as well. Other GP practices like ours, yes, sometime never, we've run out of stamps. Now, I guess if I was at a practice that was one of these much bigger practices, the admin side would be more organised with all of this. But I wanted a GP surgery, and these are very, very few and far between now. Where, and I know this is going to sound really silly, but if you've been in the UK any time, you'll know what I mean. I would like to get up in the morning and think, I'm not feeling too good today. I'll go to the doctors. And just go to the doctors and sit in the waiting room until there is an appointment and then be taken in. And that's what my GP does. It's an old system that my first GP used. So if you are ill, you go to the doctors, and in the order that you arrived, you will see the doctor that morning. That's not how 99.9% of surgeries work now. There will be a premium rate number that you need to call. So that's going to cost you about £1 a minute before you start. And you will be able to book an appointment, the next available appointment, which may or may not be this year. Because what people do is book an appointment just in case, because if they need an appointment, they can't get one. And you're not allowed just to turn up at the surgery. They'll escort you out of the surgery if you try that. But given the administration that must be involved in a surgery like that, they're probably on the ball with the COVID. Whereas my surgery is like, what's a telephone again? Because they don't work like that. They're old school. So unfortunately, that's not working well at the moment. But never mind, hey, I don't have to go out, so it's fine. And Mike's disappeared to sort the food out. So all the food gets washed down. Even tins and bottles, honestly. What a job. So we've got some cleaner with bleach in it. Everything gets washed down and will get put away. And we've been doing that for 14 months, so we can carry on doing that for a few more months, can't we? Remember that Spain only has vaccine numbers, hundreds of thousands. There's simply not enough to go around. And they foresee getting 30% of the population done by September. That's actually quite worrying in relation to something else, Tracy, which is, you know, if the borders were closed, that's one thing. But there are people chomping at the bit in the UK to go to Spain on holiday. Now, personally, I think they need locking up, literally, because it's not just a case of, is it safe for the people in Spain to be basically invaded by the UK people who, they're not going to be in a fit state for social distancing, because you know what Brits are like on holiday. And then you've got the issue of, if Spain only have 30% of the population done by September, you know, the holiday season will be over by the shouting by then the Brits coming back could be bringing a different variant back with them. Why can't we all just decide we're not going to have a holiday this year? Why it seems half of the government's time is honestly pissed away with, oh, well, people need a holiday. No. People do not need a holiday abroad. They don't. There's circumstances. And if it was left to just the circumstances, like where people need to go home for a funeral or something like that, like Tracy did, can you imagine that you're not allowed in? That's not fair. But for a holiday, really? I know the weather's not fabulous in the UK, but, you know, global pandemic. But people seem to want a holiday more than anything else, and that's just concerning. So Alex thinks some GP practices are outsourcing. If ours have, we still haven't heard, so I doubt ours are doing it. I don't know. Jonathan's got outsourced. You're not going to your GP. They didn't even contact you to book it. It does make sense that they'd outsource it, I'll grant you. We're still seeing things here that I think I may have mentioned. You know, you guys said you got told to wear like a short sleeve so you can roll it up. I am still being accosted. My eyes are being accosted by, without exception, women who have probably been told the same as you guys, pulling the shirt down, and we've got Bragate. And I'm like, no, I don't want to see it. But I'm being accosted by it. And then that was only topped by the MP. An MP went to get his jab and took his shirt off. So there he is doing it of Vladimir Putin. It was not an edifying sight, I can assure you. To which, I don't know whether anybody asked Chris Whitty or Patrick Vallance, I can't remember which one, but one of the chief medical officers came out, made a statement and said, you do not need to strip to the waist to get the vaccine. And I thought, that's actually quite telling, isn't it? Because it's like saying that if you did have to strip to the waist, how many people wouldn't go? I thought there was only me that had like this ring fence 10 metres around me, don't touch me thing going on. But clearly there are more people. So no, you don't have to strip to the waist to get it. And can I just say, if I'm going in, can you not flash your bra? Because it's very off-putting. I don't know what it is with these women. And the other thing, I don't know what it is with the TV companies who seem to have just set up camp at the Maxvax centres and have got the cameras running. I mean, you could have somebody in the background. Okay, you've got a release from the person that you're recording, but you could have somebody in the background who doesn't want it flashed all over the TV that they're there for the vaccination and you're caught on camera. There should be some decorum. Outside only, honestly. Too much, too much. And they don't look at medical records. See, that's my problem. Not looking at medical records in an average person who's allergic to nothing is one thing. But I've only got this third hand. I know it was serious because when I was a child and I started school, Mum always said, do not let them give you anything, you know, like an aspirin or a paracetamol or anything. And she explained why. So this is me at 5. Oh, okay. Penicillin. Okay. But she drummed it into me for years and years and years. You don't take anything. And when I was older, about 13, they came round with all the extra vaccinations and boosters and stuff. And because I'd had to have a very strict inoculations as a child, I was actually already inoculated for half of the stuff. Because if I got it, so say there was something they would inoculate you for at 11, I might have had that at 5. As I started school, because they wouldn't be able to treat it. The only thing that would touch it was penicillin, and I couldn't take penicillin. So my inoculations are all over the place. They are in my medical records, but they were not given at the same time as other people's. So when it came to a booster, she also said, you know, don't just follow like a sheep, question everything. It's probably her fault, I'm the way I am. Because if they give you a booster, you've already had it. And or you had the thing, you know, not far enough back. So if they're giving you a booster to something you had when you were 1, you had it at 5. So don't take the booster, it's too soon. All of that is in my medical records. So they're going to have to see them, aren't they? And it's not, and you know, and it can't be, even if I had a copy of my medical records, which I don't, but even if I did and I turned up with them, there's no point giving that to Mac Busted, is there? He's like, oh, that's interesting. You need someone who's actually medically qualified. And I don't know how many of those are at the Maxvax. A good evening to you, Tracy. Talking of which, Tracy, don't disappear. Have you checked the feed at all? Just saying. Anthony saw that and it was horrible. MPs have now been told to dress appropriately for their vaccines after that. It sets the wrong tone, doesn't it? It frightens people. I don't know whether... Would it frighten most guys? I don't think it would. But having said that, guys are under a lot of pressure now to have six packs and stuff. It's not just women who wouldn't want to strip to the waist. You know, there is a lot of body image pressure on men. So what a stupid thing for him to do in the first place. You honestly think, you know, being an MP, you can't be absolutely card-carrying stupid. Although, you know, maybe. But to do something silly like that, that then the chief medical officer's got to draft a press release to say, don't do that. There's no need. It's just a waste of time. In the middle of a pandemic, there's more important things to do than be writing press releases. Because MPs are stripping to the waist. Oh, our MPs. Can't live with them, can't shoot them. Never mind. It seems to be all done on self-reporting, especially how fast they're doing it. Well, I don't know what I could possibly self-report, Alex, apart from the fact I'm severely, severely allergic to penicillin to the point you're going to have to check the medical records. It's that bad. And all of the other vaccines that I'd had were all at the wrong times, different times, etc. It has happened in hospital where they don't have your medical records. They are relying on you. But, you know, the first thing that I say, and Mike's been primed to say it, I said, if I ever get taken into hospital and I'm not conscious enough to say anything, I'm allergic to penicillin. I said, write it on me in a Sharpie. Seriously, write it on both arms in a Sharpie. And that way, you know, they'll do a double take. So I honestly don't know. I don't know. Anton had a similar problem at school. You have to have antibiotics for any dental treatment. And the doctor at the hospital drummed that into me. And the school wanted me to see their dentist and they refused, crying out loud. In the end, I had to go see her, but I wouldn't let her do anything which she understood and was fine with. I actually was at school, and it was what they were doing was, I can't remember which one it was, but there's an injection that they give you, and it's like six in one. So it goes into your forearm, and it's like a machine. So if you think of like a hole punch, it looks like that. They put this thing over your arm, and then they pull a lever, and you get like a circle of injections. And what it was a tiny bit of whatever it was giving you. And then they would work out from that how much to give you for the proper dose. And mum wrote a letter, which was accepted, all the rest of it. And that was fine. And then the day came and they were sending us off in threes. And because this was in year two, so I would have been 12. Because... I mean, mum knew all about it and I knew all about the letter and, you know, we're up to speed. And, you know, having had it drilled into me for 7 years, do not let them touch you. They weren't touching me. But because I was new to that school, my name on the register wasn't under G. It was at the bottom. It was done alphabetically by surname, but my name was at the bottom. So I was within the last three to go. So they reeled off the last three. And the last three were all the new girls. And I said, my mum's already written, I don't have to go. The teacher, obviously petrified, you've got to go, you've got to go. And I thought, but I'm not going, you know I'm not going. But she's written a letter, the headmistress has seen it, I'm not going. She threw me out the door, you've got to go. So I extricated this 10p on the way and rang mum and said, they want me to go. And she said, don't go. Just turn around and go back, I'll deal with it. And she got on and she spoke to them and said, you know, how ridiculous. Because by accident, it could have happened. You know, you turn up and say, well, I'm not supposed to be having this. And they do it anyway. I wouldn't put it past them. I really wouldn't. So I know how you feel, Anthony. You spend half your life scrapping, don't you? No, you shouldn't be doing that. Oh, yes, it's standard practice. I'm going to. I do, Alex. Obviously, at the moment, I'm not wearing it because I'm not leaving the house. But, you know, sometimes I think they just ignore it. It's all over my iPhone. I've got an ICE message on my iPhone. So I've got that on there as well, which links through to Mike. So, yeah, I should be fine. But I always think it's better that they do take notice. If you think about it, if you go in for like a hip replacement or some kind of augmentation thing and they're doing one side, they do tend to actually write on you in Sharpie. So there are no mistakes, no misinterpretations of the notes. So I always say just put it on in a Sharpie and they won't miss it, which I think is the best way to go. Sometimes the analogue ways are the way to go. Absolutely. So Alex said at the MaxVax, a nurse asks questions and then you're sent for a vaccine. The thing is, see you later, Renee. The thing is, I don't know what, well, you would know what questions they ask. I wouldn't know what questions they ask. But because... I haven't had tests like this. So let's say one of the questions is, if you've got high blood pressure, how would I know? I've not been to the doctors in 30 years. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't honestly think, I don't think there's a question they could ask me that I would know the answer to. Not with any degree of certainty. Apart from, are you on any medication? And then the answer would be no. But other than that, honestly, I don't know. See you later, Jonathan. We need to head off and sort ourselves out, don't we?
We do.
So we will say good night for the moment, but we will see you at 9 o'clock for Mac Bites After Hours. And we have high hopes with young Jonathan tonight. Seems on the ball tonight. Having said that, you know, vaccine in the morning, he might need an early night. So we'll see. Do I feel well? I feel incredibly well, Alex. Pretty much because I'm not at the doctor's every 5 minutes being shoved full of whatever pills are in vogue at the moment. I saw my grandmother and my great aunt once removed. They were a similar age and they both had osteoarthritis. And this drug came out called Opron. And my great aunt got it and my gran didn't. And she was peeved. Oh, I never heard the end of it. She's getting it and I'm not getting it. On and on and on it went. I must have been at the time about 12. Fast forward 15 years. And I was working on the case, the Opron case, where it had all gone wrong. My great aunt couldn't leave the house. It turned your skin. It gave you a condition called photosensitivity. Your skin couldn't take light. So basically, a vampire disease. Couldn't leave the house unless she was dressed from head to toe in black. So I always look at it as like, just because that's really, really popular at the moment. Same with my mum. With my mum, she suffered dreadfully with morning sickness. So the doctor gave her some pills. And she's like me, anti-pills. So what she was hoping was that he would say, well, you know, don't eat eggs and asparagus and you'll be fine. But no, he said, take these pills. They'll stop the morning sickness. And she's looking at them and she's like, I don't believe in taking medication. Not for something like morning sickness. So she decided she wouldn't take them. Thank God. Thalidomide. Why are you giving that to people just for morning sickness? But just imagine if she'd taken it. So I'm not anti-medication in any way at all, if you need it. But I don't intend to go to the doctors, you know, to say I've got a bit of a scratch or something. And all of a sudden you've got like 47 pills. And that's what seems to happen. I don't know why, but we don't know anybody, do we, the Catinians or church, who are not on permanent medication.
Mm.
Not a single person. Not a single one takes nothing unless they're actually ill. They are permanently on some kind of medication. And then you sit there and it's like, this is my high blood pressure medication and this is me this medication. That's my heart medication. And I'm like, well, have you had that checked lately? Oh, no. I've been on these 8 years. And I'm like, really? No, that's not me. There you go. That's not me. It's Big Pharma, isn't it? It's Big Pharma that's responsible. My approach is, if I am not in that much pain that I can't bear it, then I'll stay at home until I'm okay. There has been two occasions where I have been in that much pain that I had no alternative. But at that point, I don't need a GP. I need a scalpel. There's something wrong. You know, I actually do need medical help. But there you go. So for the moment. Hang on. Kim says, I'm glad for your sake she didn't take it. It works well for I don't know what that is, but I'm going to look it up, Tracy. Kim. Can't read today, can I? I'm going to look that up. I was very lucky. She had them in her hand and she decided that however bad the morning sickness was, and I don't know if it was as bad as, is it hyper something emiosis that Kate had with her children. But she decided that, you know, being sick is natural. Taking this stuff potentially wasn't. How right was she? Right, I'm going to look that up. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.